God, it's amazing that we've got in this room thousands of different creations, everyone beautiful, because the greatest creator that's ever been imagined and cannot be imagined, you, has personally built into and designed every last person in here. And that is amazing. The closer we come to understanding the creation that's sitting in the seat, the more that's astounding. We can map the human genome, but yet the more we know about it, the more we realize we don't know, and the more mysterious it is. We can do open heart surgery, yet to this day, we have no idea why in the world a heart beats. What makes it beat? Yeah, it's an electrical charge, but where's that come from? You are an amazing, amazing creator. And I'm hoping that today that we would all be able to have a sense of joy and that way sing in our heart because we feel connected with you. Because when we're disconnected, there's disharmony. There is a cacophony of sounds that bring stress. So use all that happens today to build into your creations right here. That's what we're asking. Amen. Hey, Denise, fantastic job, huh? Yeah. Well, last week we talked about who is our neighbor and the fact that everyone's our neighbor. We are all connected. That's just the way it goes in today's society with the web and everything else. All things are connected. And when we try juggling things or we try to juggle different roles, what I'm going to talk about today is disconnectedness brings stress. Disconnectedness brings stress. That's a big point today that we're going to talk about. And speaking of juggling, is anybody in here juggle? Who can juggle in here? Anybody juggle? Anybody? I've tried to juggle. I don't do it all that well. I'm pretty lame at it, actually. But I'm wondering, anybody here really, really good at juggling? I mean good, like can do it and carry on. Anybody? Everyone's like, no, I don't. This guy here. Oh, yes, you, Mr. White Shirt Man. Well, let's see about that. Come on up here, Mr. White Shirt Man. Yes, come on up here. Walk up on stage. Give him some encouragement here. Yes, come on now. All right. Yes. Now I just happen to have some little props up here, and what's your name?
Tom.
Hi, Tom. Good to see you. Boy, good acoustics in here. Say it again.
Tom.
He's not even mic'd. Okay, Tom. Here I just got a couple things here. These I think should be pretty simple. Just go ahead and let's see how you do there, if you could. Yes, he can. He can. And actually, so you know that I can't lie any longer. Tom was a plant. I actually did plant him there. And as Tom goes, you could say, yes, he does know how to juggle. One of the interesting things about juggling is that the more uniform the things are, the easier it is, because the brain has to have a hard time measuring the amount and the weight of these people. Aren't even listening to anything I say. They're just doing that. And that one, that's pretty impressive. Let's try something a little more difficult. How about those things down there? Yes, you did a good job. Okay. Oh, how about those things down there you have, Tom? Those things that are sort of round and blunt. So you got anything that's a little more dangerous? Yeah, you do. There you go. Now, this is going to be a little more dangerous, a little more magical, but still the same principle is there, that since it's all uniform, as Tom was telling me, it's actually easier to juggle when all things are uniform. So let's see what that looks like.
I did not say this is easier.
No, you didn't say it's easier. Well, it's easier than if he had three different things he was doing. So here he goes. Mark set. Go. Yes. And we are so thankful he has not dropped one on our expensive camera yet. That is very nice of him. And so here we go again. I mean, three of the same objects. It is more difficult, but will be even more difficult if there were things of varying size and various weights. Like I have this thing in my pocket right here, Tic Tacs. I've never seen anyone do a Tic Tac. Yeah. Could you, oh, by the way, while Tom does that, here, go have a couple Tic Tacs. I've never, You could do that. Well, while Tom does this, we're going to have some people with these bags come by, and we're going to have time to be generous. If you're part of this place and want to be involved with what's going on around here, it's a way that we connect with God through giving. And if you're a guest, you're not part of our place, no problem. Just let it pass on by. Let's say, who's ever seen Tic Tacs juggle? Let's see these guys. Now, as he juggles Tic Tacs here, I want to introduce something that's of a little different weight because it requires more concentration. Right here. Now, if I throw this to you, could you just juggle as I throw it? Okay, here goes that one. Oh, dude. That's pretty impressive. Yes. Three different things of different weights. Very difficult. Oh, you know what? I have something else I wanted to... What about if we put something else in here? These are all more difficult, isn't it? When you have three things that are all different sizes or different weights, let's see how easy that is. He's getting a real bicep workout when he does this one here. All right, good. And I have something else for you. Yes, one more thing. This is very mentally stressful, and this will have a point right here. Have you ever seen somebody do bean bags? Tom, we want to see you do some bean bags. Let's give him some encouragement here on the bean bags. Come on. Yeah! Woo! That was awesome. Thanks. Just one more service. That was great. That's just, give him some encouragement there. Now, I don't know why people accuse Crossroads of cheap entertainment. I understand why that is. Actually, I was trying to make a point. You were just so in the zone there, you didn't make the point. You couldn't understand the point. The point really is, as a juggler, when you have three things that are of the uniform size that are consistent, it takes less mental capacity. When you have things that are of different weights, from what I'm told, you have to adjust everything, get ready for your muscle to go, you know, all that way. And that's the way life is. When you enter into life and you think you have to be a different person in different environments, and you have to have different rules of the game, putting different pressure on different things in different environments, there is stress that comes about. Disconnectedness brings about stress. That's the big point today. Disconnectedness brings about stress. If you have a level of stress in your life, it is probably connected to you being a different person in different environments or refusing to notice that God has timeless principles that weave through everything that you do and every place that you are. Someone forwarded me an article in USA Today last week, and it was about Al Gore. Anyone seen his recent movie, An Inconvenient Truth? Anyone seen that? I want to see that movie because I'm becoming more and more in tune to environmental stuff. It sounds like an interesting thing, so I want to see it. So, my wife doesn't like documentaries, but I really want to see that thing. And so I've been looking forward to seeing this, and this article came my way, and it says, Gore isn't quite as green as he's led the world to believe. And in this article, it talks about how his values and his words don't match up with his energy consumption. It talks about the SUVs he drives, the three large houses he owns and the products it took to build into those. It talks about his family's holdings, of which he was executor of the will, maintains holdings in Oxy Petroleum, which drills in areas that are environmentally not good for the environment. Talks about holdings in the zinc plant and all of these. It talks about his house in Nashville where he could pay a couple extra cents per kilowatt hour to have natural power like everybody can in Nashville, and he chooses not to do that. And all these things, I'm reading this article, I'm going, man, this is bad. This can't be true. There's got to be another side of the story. Because if this is true, this makes a great point for me this next Sunday. Because there's a disconnection between words and actions. But I can't talk about this if this isn't true. So I did some more scouring on the internet. I actually had the guy who formed the article do some scouring too. And of all the stuff that's come up on the internet that I've seen, or all the refutals, the only thing that's been refuted or said is the guy who wrote the article isn't environmentally friendly either. There was nobody who kind of said, no, this wasn't true because of XYZ. And I thought about that. I thought, that's kind of where our society has come to. We don't really expect anybody to do what they say anymore. We don't really expect anybody to have a whole life, an integer life, a whole number. We don't expect really anybody to have a fully and complete integrated life. And the less integrated your life is, the more stress you are going to have. I had a call a couple weeks ago from Darren Yates, our executive pastor, and he called and he was at lunch and he said, hey, I just got an email and we need to talk about this email when I get back in. I thought, okay. I have a friend of mine in another city who has been a part of a email smear campaign where somebody, I sent all kinds of bad things about him, forwarded to other people all over the city and just really, really bad stuff. So I'm thinking to myself, it's kind of on my mind. I'm thinking about this. And then I thought to myself, did anybody catch me doing anything wrong? You ever had that happen? Someone says, hey, you know, we need to talk later on. I can't talk right now. You go, ooh, okay. And you sort of, what did they get me for? I couldn't have found out about that. No, so I'm sitting there, and so I had this brief thing of stress, and all of a sudden I thought, I'm not perfect. I've got some issues. I'll talk about some of them today, but I'm hiding, nothing wrong, and the email had nothing to do with that at all. But I just thought about that for a moment, and all of a sudden I realized how stress-free it is when you have a whole integrated life that is connected. When you are who you say you are connected, and it all comes together. Oliver Stone did that movie I talked about last week. Anybody go to that movie, World Trade Center, that I recommended last week just because I said so? Oh, a number of you. Someone did and liked it. Oliver Stone had this quote, and he said this, I don't want integrity to block my creative growth. Now, I'm sure there's a context to this. You know, I'm sure there's some context. This is an old quote. I'm sure there's some context to this. But this is very interesting to me because the word creative, you know what creative means? It means to create. God invented creativity because he is the creator. And when God creates things, he creates them in a holistic manner where everything is connected and going through. So to be a creator is to be a whole person, is to be a person of integrity. You can't have integrity and be creative at the same time, or else you'd be creating things that are opposed to one another and breaking each other down. This is why I'm fascinated with the planet, environmentalism right now, where I used to think that was, you know, just something that negative tree huggers used to do. And I realized, hold on, God created the planet. He cares for it. In fact, in Genesis chapter 1, it goes through these 7 days, whether those are 24-hour days or long epics. You can, you know, debate that and have your own opinions on that. But the point is, after every day, it says, and God created this and said it was good. And God created this and said it was good. And God created it and said it was... So when God creates things that are physical, it's good. Platonic philosophy... Plato was, I don't know, 400 BC or so. Plato really influenced the beliefs that many people have today, including beliefs of people who actually read the Bible. Platonic philosophy was that anything that is physical is less than anything that is spiritual. So that if there is a physical chair right here, there is an alternative spiritual reality where there is a spiritual chair that is the real chair that you should be about, and that is the value thing. Everything in this planet is just a shadow or a mere form of the better form that is in the spiritual world, this book, this table. And so what came out of that were people believing that the physical world was less. When I talk about physical and spiritual, I'm not talking about something that is more important or less important. I'm not saying that because everything is spiritual. For defining spiritual as something God cares about. God has woven through who he is through everything that's physical. And this is why some people abuse their bodies, while some monastic traditions actually beat themselves. That's where that comes from. You know, beating yourself and flogging yourself because my physical self is less spiritual. So I need to subvert and be less than on my physical self so that I can be more spiritual. Or some people believe that, you know, when you're married, sex should only be to create. Sex really isn't there to be enjoyed. It's just there to create. So you only have to have sex when you want to create because sex is bad. It's bad. You know, the physical is bad. And see, we're disconnecting what God has created sex to be and all these physical things. When we realize that all of these things are spiritual. Everything is spiritual. Physical and spiritual is all important to God. Secular and spiritual, all is important to God. God doesn't separate things like that. Things are whole. Things are connected. All things come together. One of the books I read recently I thought was really interesting was by Francis Collins called The Language of God. And Francis Collins is an award-winning scientist. He led the team that mapped the human genome. He was invited to the White House, you know, a scientist among scientists. And he's also a very strong Christ follower who believes in the Bible. And he talks about within this book how there's nothing that he's ever discovered in science or seen in science that doesn't mesh in some way, shape, or form with the book that he reads every day and has given his life to. You know, you can determine what in here you want to take literally and what in here you want to take figuratively. That's a unique discipline of itself. But you shouldn't shun science, because if it is true, guess where it came from? God. If it's true, it came from God. If it's true, it's part of God's creation, and it is woven throughout us and touches us in some way, shape, or form. And so to remove ourselves and say that I can abuse the environment, or I can abuse my sexual life, or not value a sexual life, or I can do whatever, and I could have these different rules inside of these things, some of these things God cares about, some of them doesn't, is to bring a level of stress on our lives, because we're pulling pixie sticks out of the ways in which we were created, and sooner or later we will fall down. Three things. Three ways that this affects us. One is disassociation, where we disassociate. We disassociate ourselves from where we are. We disassociate ourselves, and it's actually a personality disorder. There's a thing called the dissociative personality disorder. And it's not multiple personality disorders, which is when you actually become a different person in your mind. But dissociative personality disorder is when you take different principles and you see how principles that you have in your life in your bedroom, say, have nothing to do with principles in your life that relate to church. You're unable to see the interwoven principles of your life and how they go throughout. In the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 27. Look at the interconnectedness and how all things are connected here. Then God said, "Let us make man, human beings in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and all the animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. You are connected with God because there's something about you that is exactly like God. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. Interesting, in the beginning, it says, and God said, let us. So God is counseling with himself or with other beings or something or other. He's saying, let us. God is in community. And he creates you and I to be in community. We're connected. The fact that you need people around you shows that you're tied in with God. And you know, when people live in the hills by themselves, you know, they become Ted Kluszewski, whatever his name was. You know, we're not created... Seriously, we're not created to be on our own. You can be an introvert, that's cool, but you introvert yourself for a couple years, you're going to be whacked. You're going to have a level of stress. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth, subdue it. Subdue it, by the way, doesn't mean just beat it into submission. It means take care of it, oversee it, nurture it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Who's the best rulers? The best rulers are ones who take care of their citizens. That's what God's talking about. God says, I am putting you here to make decisions and to oversee and be my voice and my hands in this world. Everything is connected. All of it goes through. And when we disassociate ourselves from creation, we disassociate ourselves from other people, and we think that God doesn't care about that. All God cares about is when we sit in church or we do something like praying. We are bringing a disconnectedness, and there is a stress that comes throughout that. Funny. It is true. Sometimes you meet somebody from a different world and you go, oh, I wonder if they'll relate to these friends over there. And based on how concerned you are about that would indicate your disconnectedness level. Back in these things, I always crack up because, you know, in this world right here, you know, if God has created you to be a type A person, if that's kind of who you are, one of the unique twists on you, then bring that where you're here. And while you're bringing that in a healthy way, you are connected with God and you are honoring God right here. That's as spiritual as anything you're going to do in here today. Honoring God by valuing the person who's giving you a fair wage and you bringing your best. Sometimes I talk with people who think that, you know, when you come on staff at Crossroads that you just get to think of Bible screensavers all day and sit under trees and, you know, ponder something or other. And, oh man, it's the same thing. You know, we work around here the same way you work in your factory, the same way you work in your job, because, you know, there's salaries and the labor is worthy of his hire, and it's important. And how somebody works at Crossroads is no less valuable to God than how you work in the insurance industry or wherever you are. God's put you here to have a role in the planet. And when I'm in a bed like this, I can't be disconnected from my bed at home. Like a hotel bed. I was in a hotel bed a couple weeks ago. And what they have beside hotel beds are these remote controls. I don't know if you've ever seen them or not. You ever seen those remote controls they have in hotels? That's supposed to be funny. I guess it wasn't. But these, this remote control, except when I get a remote control in a hotel, I have more power than the remote control I have at home. Because the remote control I have at home doesn't control as many stations. As part of our crazy campaign commitment, many of you know, a small percentage of that monthly commitment we're making above and beyond our regular giving to the things we're doing here, is meaning that our family only has the basic cable package. And I mean basic, no ESPN. Which ticks me off. What is the NFL doing putting Monday Night Football on ESPN? That's just sin. That's just pure, unadulterated, disgusting sin right there. That just ain't right. So now I'm dressing with, okay, what are we going to do on that? All that stuff. So some of you feel the same way. So when I have a hotel remote, I get things that I normally don't get and I enjoy it. So I go in the hotel and I'm just kind of sitting there like this. And I'm going to click, 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 click. And so I find this channel that was an unbelievable channel, an unbelievable thing that I've never seen before because I'm away from the real world since I don't have all these premium channels. It was called the Ultimate Fighting Championship. Ultimate Fighting Championship. And I said, I cannot believe what I'm seeing right now. Now, I know generally what Ultimate Fighting Championship is because when I go to Blockbuster, I see the boxes. The box covers and what it is and all that stuff. If you don't know what it is, here's what it is. It's two guys who get together and pray together. And these two guys who get together and they have these gloves on that just covers their knuckles. Their fingers are available to like gouge on people and all that stuff. And they can do anything to knock the person out. Knee them, kick them. And the way these things always end up is somebody on their back and somebody on top of them trying to get the position to drive their jaw into the back of the mat. And I'm watching this thing, and it was like I felt dirty. I would have felt more clean if I just bought the pay for porn. Probably I would have felt better if I'm watching this stuff. I'm bringing up my hand here. I'm just like looking between my fingers at this thing because I don't even want to look at the whole thing. And I'm just, oh, of course I didn't turn the channel. I just kept watching it, but. I had this reaction. Why is that? It's because these were two people made in the image of God, and they were not created to do this. And even though they're doing it of their own free will and all that stuff, I thought, man, this is the gladiators. This is the modern gladiators. And because I hadn't become numb to it because I don't see it, I just saw it in a unique way. It just made me feel dirty. You know, and the more things that we do that are disconnected, the more callous that we become to them, the more we disassociate, you know, because if we saw our 2 6-year-olds doing that, it's, oh, you know, we see 2 25-year-olds doing it, we disassociate that entirely from this realm to this realm because it's like a disorder we have and it brings a level of stress because then we do that in other areas of our life too. And what this does is it causes us to be disoriented. It's another phase. It's another aspect of this disconnectedness that brings about stress. As you become disoriented, you lose your orientation. You don't know exactly which way you're going. Adam and Eve are created in this perfect world. Everything is connected. They're connected to their work. They're connected to the planet. They're connected to each other. They're connected with God. Everything is perfect in harmony. All is connected. And there's one thing they're not supposed to do, and they do it. Eve goes and she eats of this fruit because the serpent, the snake, tempts her into doing it. You might know of that story. Adam follows suit quickly thereafter. He eats of this fruit. And the first thing they do is they become disconnected. They symbolically become disconnected because they go and they get fig leaves and they cover up themselves, their privates, and they're kind of hiding each other. Before they were open and free, totally connected. Now they got fig leaves and they're disconnected from each other and they're hiding from each other. And they're actually hiding from God. They're actually behind things, hiding from Him. And look what happens when God comes onto the scene. Chapter 3, verse 9. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he, God, said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" And the man said, "Well, the woman you put here with me." It's always a woman's fault. Always is. she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? You know what I find the most fascinating about this whole thing? Is how stupid God appears to be. If God knows all things, God is omniscient. If he's all-knowing, what's with the questions? Why is he asking all these questions? I mean, think about this. Here's one. Where are you? Where are you? God, I thought you had Superman X-ray vision. I thought you could see through things. I mean, if these guys are hanging out behind trees, I mean, where are you? Why are you? Here's another one. Who told you you were naked? God, weren't you there when the whole serpent thing came up and they did this thing? And have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? I mean, did you take a bathroom break and you didn't get to see that scene? I mean, did you take a commercial break? And there's this whole thing that happened with Eve and the serpent and Adam coming on. Did you miss that? Well, why are you asking this? And what is this you have done? You don't know any of this of God. If you're supposed to be the one we're connected to and in through, and you're in and through all these things, why don't you know these things? Are you disconnected? Are you totally clueless? What is up with the questions? Now, when you are disoriented, there are always questions associated with disorientation. When you are lost, that is the one time you go and ask a question. Where do I get to? You know, you ask questions when you notice you're disoriented. You might be lost, but you don't ask a question until you know you're lost, until you know that you are disoriented. When you are disoriented, there are always questions that are associated with it. If you've ever gone to counseling, or if you've never gone to counseling and you should go to counseling, let me tell you how it's going to work. You're going to go into this woman or this guy, and you're going to sit down and you're going to want to bring up to speed on everything in your life. And so you're going to tell them everything. You're going to tell them your whole story. You're going to blah, blah, blah. And you're going to remember pieces you didn't tell. So you're going to go back and tell this. Blah, blah. And you're going to blah, 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 blah. And you're going to go on for, I don't know, 20 minutes or 30 minutes. And you're just going to go straight. And the person's just going to be looking at you, nod. And and all of a sudden you're going to realize, boy, I just motor mouth the whole time. I didn't come here just to talk about me. I've come here because I want some answers. So after this whole thing, you're going to say, so what do you think I should do? And the person's going to look at you and they're going to say, well, what do you think you should do? And you'll say something and then you'll leave that appointment. You go, wow, that was interesting. And then the next point, a similar thing will happen. This person will keep asking you questions. And eventually you're going to get really mad. You know, what's with all the questions? There's this one stand-up comedian who said, parents always, or adults always ask little kids what they want to be when they grow up because they want to get some good ideas for themselves. You know, at some point you're gonna go, what is with all the questions? And you're gonna be mad, you're gonna be frustrated, and you're gonna come to conclusions like this person really doesn't know anything, nothing, and so they're asking questions because they really have no answers. Or two, this person knows the answer, but not telling me because they're trying to stretch out their billable hours. And I guess they don't have enough clients to fill these slots. So they give me the answers. And I'm not going to come back and keep paying the fees. And you'll be frustrated. And here's really what's happening. If a good counselor is doing that, a good counselor is doing exactly what God is doing and asking these questions. Realizing that what you and I really don't want when we're disconnected is somebody to tell us what to do. What we need to do is to discover and make that thing our own learning. Because you fall through in the things that are your own. You do the things that are your own. I don't know why that is, but it is true. When you discover something on your own and someone helps you discover it on your own, you feel it's yours. You feel you are connected with that thing. You take more ownership of it and you actually follow through and you do it. And so what's God doing here? He talks to Adam and Eve. He's trying to help them to take ownership, discover on themselves how they have been disconnected and articulate it. This is why there's all these questions in the Bible. People always talk about the answers in the Bible. The Bible has the answers and Jesus is the answer. Well, Jesus is also the question. The Bible is also the question. There's fascinating questions that go throughout the entire Bible. There's some of them right in the very first book. One of the questions I talked about last week with this guy, Prophet Isaiah. And God says, who will go for me? Who will go for me? Ask this question. Look in Jesus' ministry. All these questions. Looks at Peter, one of his closest friends, and says, who do you say that I am? And you say, now, why would Jesus say something like that? Is Jesus this egomaniac who's saying, well, okay, enough about me. How about you? What do you think about me? You know, is he some egomaniac that just wants someone to stroke him? Why is he asking, what about you? He's trying to get Peter to understand how oriented or disoriented he is and declare himself publicly. Jesus sees these people who are hurt and bruised and just been that way for a long time. And he says these stupid things to them like, what do you want me to do for you? Hello? What do you mean, what do you want me to do for you? One time he looks at another guy and who's just been just in major, major pain and says, do you want to get well? Why is he asked these kind of questions? Because he's wanting people to discover for themselves what their orientation is and to wrestle with whether or not they want to get oriented, whether or not they want to be connected. I had this interaction with a person not too long ago and talked about just unbelievable pain in her life. Just nasty, nasty. Now, if only half of the things are true, they could never make a movie of it because it's too unbelievable. And manifests itself by movies she goes to that she thinks are innocent movies to go to, but it sets off memories, and she has to get up and walk out of movies, and she's just sharing this stuff. And she's there with her husband, and I said to her, said to them, how long have you known this stuff? How long have you been wrestling with this? Look at his husband. How long is have you been wrestling with this? He says, since our wedding night. And I thought, ooh, that's a good wedding night. And it was also decades ago, this wedding night. So I thought, well, work for Jesus. I'll see if it works for me. So I looked at her, I said, do you want to be well? It didn't work. Didn't work at all. It was really a bad, bad question. Really stupid. She, And her response to that told me that's the exact kind of question I needed to ask her, because I sense that when we come to a place where we have disorientation and we know we are disoriented and it's been happening a long time, what happens is that becomes our identity. That becomes who we are. And we don't want to let that thing go away because we feel like we would be connected from our known reality, which is my dysfunction junction, which is my level of pain. And many of us, we won't get connected with God. We won't feel freedom because the stress that comes from our disconnectedness is something that has become who we are. That's who we are. We're in these rooms, that's who I am. Or playing the game and playing the role and all these different roles. And we have to ask ourselves at some point, do we like this? Is this where we want to be? And all those little things that have happened in our life are impacting who we are today if we aren't making the proper connection with God. That's why meteorologists and philosophers kind of come together and they talk about the butterfly effect. This ridiculous thing that apparently people who are smarter than me say is true. That actual butterfly, the flapping of a butterfly's wings in China mathematically has an impact on the environmental patterns. Everything in some way, shape, or form is connected. It is integrated. And the third phase of feeling the stress that comes from disconnectedness is disintegration. Disintegration. Disintegration is when we disintegration. Disintegration is when we disintegration. Integration is about integrity. It's about wholeness. And disintegration comes about when we want to segment part of our life out. When we want to think that I can play by different rules in different games. Disintegrating our life leads to disintegration in our life. Well, I was away on study break a couple weeks ago. My assistant sends mail down every few days. I'll get this big batch that's forwarded and also include the various magazines that I subscribe to. And some of the magazines I subscribe to are kind of pastor type magazines, the pastor industry magazines. And this one magazine is called Outreach. And though I got this one forwarded down to me, and there's this annual issue that comes out, and this was the issue that it came out. This issue of Outreach Magazine is the top 100. The top 100. It's all about the churches in America. And these are the top churches. The top 100. It actually should be called the biggest 100, but they actually call it the top 100. Like these are the 100 churches that God likes the most. These are the 100 churches that God gets so good. The top. You know, so you see the top, you're wondering, man, am I in the top? The top 100. Am I there? Is that where we are? And so what do you think I did when I saw that magazine? I read it immediately. I wanted to find that list. Where's that top one? Where is it? So I go and I open up. Poof. Where is it? I'm looking. I see the numbers. I see where we're not in there. Where are we? We're not in there. We should be. And I'm thinking to myself, what's going on here? Do they not contact us? Do they send a fax and it got thrown away accidentally? Did somebody accidentally send in the thing and they dropped a zero off the end? I mean, well, what is going on there? How come we're not in the top 100? And I'm starting to get bummed out about this. I'm going, well, how? And this is all happening in, you know, inside of a minute and a half, this whole process. And all of a sudden this question comes to me. Why am I so whacked? That's the question that comes to me. Why am I so whacked? Honestly. And that question plagued me for like a couple weeks, still to this day. Would I feverishly open up a magazine to look at that? Do I need something else to authenticate me? Is a relationship with God not enough? Do I need some? It's strange. And why do I want to ask that question? Why do I want you to ask that question? Because if you aren't asking those questions, you will disintegrate. And can I say something else? Many of you, you are disintegrating right now. You are. You're here looking for answers because there is pain in your life. And some of the pain that's in your life is there because you have chosen to have different worlds and live in parallel universes. And not see that you are connected with God and there is not a single thing that you do that God doesn't care about, and you think you're fooling Him and you think you're fooling others, but you're not. You're not. And you're feeling the pain and you are disintegrating. And even if you would never believe in God, I'll tell you, you will have less pain in your life and less stress if you're just the same person in all these environments. Don't believe in God, but consistently don't believe in God and consistently follow through in whatever you want in every environment. Be a consistent person, even if your consistency is being away from God. And you'll have less stress than if you try to play the God card every once in a while. This is how we were created. You were created, you were plopped into an environment in which everything is created by God, everything is connected by God, everything matters, and there's freedom when we get that code and we live in that way. It's an awesome, awesome thing. Denise Band, wherever you are, why don't you come on back out? I want to redo this song that we did earlier. And I like to do that with us just sitting here. And I want to have a little time with God. And you can sing this song while you're sitting there if you'd like. You can think through whether or not your life is integrated and oriented toward God, or what it's oriented to, what you're associating yourself with. You can also just sit there and, you know, think about your shopping list over at Myers when you're done. That's fine too. But God, I'm asking that as we sit here. Excuse me, I've thrown out a lot of concepts, a lot of ideas, but you need to make them personal for us. We need to know what it is that we need to ask ourselves, or what it is that you are asking us. Would you whisper to us right now? I think about that song, I think about the New Testament portion of the Bible, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. It says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. You were taught in regard to your former disconnected attitude. You were taught in regard to your former disorientation. You were taught in regard to your formal ways that were bringing about disintegration, that were being corrupted by the deceitful desire to play by different rules in different spheres and to think that you're not connected with God and other people. You were taught to put that off. And here's a great part. To be made new in the attitude of your minds, to become a new creation, to become new, become a person who's connected and recreated in the way in which you think and your whole perspective, to see that you are tied in and you are connected to the one who's always created you and has always loved you. That's the way I am. It's the way you are. We were created to be loved by Him. We were created to be connected by Him. God, many of us just want to be new. We want to be new, and that results in integration and connection and orientation and associating everything that is good with you. That's our desire. It's many of our desire. Okay, just a couple things before we leave. You all got in your little program, this little thing, Next Level. This Wednesday, no Next Level, so don't come this Wednesday or next. But we're starting something up in September. It's going to be really cool. We're doing Next Level every September and every October, every week in September and October. And it's actually going to mirror and set us up for the all-church journey that we do in the spring, which is where we get everybody in groups and going on the same page. And we're going to talk about the kingdom of God. And it's interesting how things are connected. We're seeing that. Back when he was a nobody, when nobody knew him except me, Greg Boyd came and was at our church a number of weeks ago and spoke to us during Da Vinci Code. And all, I don't know if you've been following the dude, but now he's on the front page of the New York Times. He was on a Charlie Rose show the other day. His book dropped to number 20 in Amazon. And I'm glad we booked him when he was a nobody, because he's going to be our primary speaker in the midst of this this Next Level series. So I'm just putting this on you and saying, hey, make sure that you make adjustments to your schedule to be involved with this. I think this is going to radically alter you and our church and our city and our world as we all get connected that way. So put that in your calendar. All right. Have yourself a great week, and we'll see you.